Bibles today. Amen. If you would turn to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 26. Amen. When you find it, say amen. Amen. If you're still looking, keep looking. 2 Kings, that's Old Testament. Amen. Chapter 4 and verse 26. Amen. And the Bible says, run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Amen. You may be seated this time. The Heavenly Father, we come this morning as humble as we know how. Lord God, thanking you for bringing us together in this place for this specific reason, to lift you up. Lord God, to encourage, to exhort one another. Lord, to touch and agree that you are the Christ. Lord God, we pray right now that if I'm too high, that you would lower me. Lord God, but if I'm too low, lift me up and place me on the plane of existence on which you would have me to speak, Lord God. Hide me behind your cross and dip me down into the treasures of your word, that I may speak clearly, Father God, what your word is speaking to us. Lord God, Lord, I know that I've sinned and fallen short of your glory, and I ask you right now, Lord God, to forgive me for my sins, those that I committed that I knew of and those that I knew not. Lord, if you don't speak right now, not a word will be spoken. Lord God, if you don't move, we'll just stand still. Father God, we just thank you right now for the Holy Spirit that abides within us, Father God. Lord, and we'll be mindful to know that as we walk and as we talk and as we do, Lord God, that we have the Spirit of you within us. Lord God, keep us close to you at all times, even when we want to waver, even when we want to do our own thing, Father God. Bring us back to the remembrance of your word, of your will, of your commands, Father God. Lord God, and most of all, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. Lord God, and he hung, bled, and died on that cross and shed his blood for the remission of our sins. And we say thank you, Father God. These are many blessings I ask in your divine name, in Jesus' divine name. Amen and thank God. Amen. I want to talk today, if you guys would just give me a few minutes, from the subject that I'd like to call, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. My brothers and sisters, if you've been living any time on this earth, amen, you've been through some ups and you've been through some downs. And if we really measured it all up, if we had to say what we really wanted to say, most of us would probably say we've dealt with more downs than we have ups. We've dealt with more difficult times than we have victorious times. Because that's how this world is set up. Amen. We're pilgrims traveling through this land. But I want to talk about today, it is well with my soul. Now, if you look at the passage of scripture which I chose to use on today, 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 26, it reads clearly, run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. The question is, Pastor, who are you talking about? Who's talking and what's going on in this particular passage of scripture? Good question. I'm glad you asked. You remember several months ago when we talked about the prophet Elisha, and we talked about his servant Gehazi. Y'all remember all that? Don't y'all remember that? Well, this is just a precept of what we talked about a few months ago. This particular passage of scripture is dealing with a woman. And we like to call her the Shunammite woman. This woman lived in a region that the prophet traveled quite often. And in his travels, he would stop by her house every once in a while. And because of the way he carried himself, because of the way he spoke, because of the things that he did, she said to her husband, this must be truly a man of God. Yeah. And she went on to talk to her husband and said, baby, you know, this preacher's up and down, this prophet's up and down the highways, and he's always trying to help people and telling people what the Lord said to him. We ought to do something. Yeah. Why don't we just build him a little man cave out back? Y'all know what I'm talking about. All of us as men, we want to have our own little spot, you know. And her husband said, you know, baby, let's do this. Yeah. So he gathered his wood together. He gathered his materials together, his hammer and his nail, and he began to erect a place for this man of God to spend the night. The Bible says that when he came through, she cooked for him. Yeah. She treated him real nice. So I'm just here to tell you today, sometimes y'all need to cook for your pastor. And it sure would be nice for y'all to add a room on your crib for me. But they went on and added this room. And when Elijah would travel through this part of the country, he had somewhere to stay. Yeah. The Bible says that he had a bed. Yeah. He had a table. Yeah. He had a stool. Yeah. And he had a candlelight, had a candlestick. So that meant that he did some studying. Amen. And so they had everything that he needed to be comfortable. And she was always cooking up those good meals. Well, Elijah, being a man of God, one day he was thinking about the goodness and the kindness of this woman. Yeah. And he sent his servant Gehazi down. He said, Gehazi, go down and ask this woman, hey, man, what can we do for her? I mean, can we put in a good word to the king? Well, what can we do for this woman? Because she's been so kind to us every time we travel through. And you know what the lady said? Huh? Yeah, y'all want me to say it right out of the book for you? No, she didn't say that. She told him that she was good. I don't need anything. Well, now what if you had the opportunity to tell somebody what you really wanted? Well, what would you tell her? $1 million. The ones of y'all been praying to win the lottery. I just want to win that lottery. I just want to hit the jackpot. But she said, I'm good. It's all good. But then when Gehazi went back and Gehazi had been there, Gehazi must have seen a need in the house. He must have seen a need in the house. And my brother said, when you connected with God, sometimes you can see things that aren't necessarily there. Yeah. Amen? So Gehazi goes back, and he tells the king, said, you know what? She needs a son. Yeah. Are y'all with me? It's in your book. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but I'm in the neighborhood, I promise you. Gehazi went back and tells her that she's going to have a son. She said, don't play with me. Y'all know I'm old. Don't play with me. Kind of reminds me of Sarah. Don't that remind you of the same story? Yeah. So, lo and behold, this woman who was kind to the man of God, who took care of the preacher, who took care of the prophet, amen, a year later has a son. Are y'all going to pray with me? He had his room. He had his quarters, and he spoke this into this woman's life, and she had a son. Yeah. She's excited. Her husband's excited because they were getting on up in age. Uh-huh. But then, my brothers and sisters, trouble came. Yeah. Isn't it amazing how it seems like when everything's going good, then things just turn and it seems like things are bad. The Bible says that the son died. Is that what your book says? Huh? The son died. And y'all go back and read this because I don't want to have to read the whole story. But the son dies. But mama didn't Mama didn't bury him. Mama didn't bury him. Mama took him up. Because the Bible says that mama took him up. So that means he couldn't have been that old if mama could get him upstairs to the little man cave that he had built for the prophet. Amen. And she laid him on the bed. And then she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of these asses," y'all gonna laugh, "that I may run to the man of God and come again." And when he said, this is verse 23, and he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." Even though things were bad, she still had some confidence. My son is dead, but it shall be well. There's some things, my brothers and sisters, that you feel like cannot be reincarnated in your life. They cannot rise up in your life. They can't resurrect in your life. But all you got to do is say it is well and have faith. Amen. Are y'all going to pray with me this morning? Y'all making this harder than it ought to be today. Amen. My brothers and sisters, so she goes down. She makes her way. And sometimes when you want something from God, you got to push your way. You got to make some effort. Too many of us are standing around here talking about, "Lord, I'm just waiting for the Lord to bless me with a car." You looking in the ceiling. Four people done called you for a job and you won't go get a job. You got to help yourself. Amen. Pray and then move. Amen. My brothers and sisters, even listening takes some effort. Hallelujah, somebody. She goes down. She takes some effort of her own and goes down and to talk to the man of God. Amen. Elijah sends out his helper. Sends out his helper and said, "What's going on? You know, it's kind of funny that you're here. I mean, is there anything? Is the boy all right?" Elijah already knew that she was coming. So he sent him out and said, "Look, go meet her, and then I need you to go home with her." Amen. And there's a few things that I need you to do. Are y'all going to pray with me? He tells Gehazi to go with the woman. And he gives him some instructions to do once he gets there. Gehazi does what Elijah tells him to do with the boy. Y'all read this when you get home, because I got some other stuff I need to talk about. And it didn't work. When he sent the servant, the boy still laid there dead. My brothers and sisters, he may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. You see, the reason why, my brothers and sisters, y'all know what kind of rascal Gehazi was. Imagine if Gehazi had gone over and spoke a word or had done these things, Gehazi would have took credit for it. Because we know that lying was already in Gehazi's heart, amen, because of what he did with Naaman, amen. So he was already on a downward spiral. Amen. God can't bless your mess. So Gehazi would have took credit for all of this. So he goes back and he tells Elijah, "Look, man, it didn't work." He said, "Well, let me tell you what, I'm going to go down." Well, Elijah tried the same thing, but then he breathed into the young man. And the Bible says that the young man rose up. He got up. He's no longer dead, but now he's alive because the man of God, whom mother had spent some time with, who mother and father had put some effort into helping his way, my brothers and sisters, they were blessed because of their faithfulness. It is well with my soul. Pastor, what does that have to do? You've already told us the whole story. If you look at this, it says, "Now run, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child?" And she answered, "It is well." How in the world can this woman tell Gehazi that it's well when her son is dead? Can you imagine how you would be acting if your son was dead? Could you go out and I come to your house? I come to your house and I meet you. I meet you out and then say, hey, what's going on? Brother Ray, Darrell's dead. But he says all is well. My brothers and sisters, this woman had faith. So she knew who God was. Now, just because your situation is messed up, just because your physical life, just because this life here on earth is tore up from the flow up, you have to understand that there is a spirit that is within you, my brothers and sisters, that don't have nothing to do with this mess down here. There's a heavenly part of you. And my brothers and sisters, our soul should always be well, no matter what the circumstance or situation. He won't talk to me. She won't return my calls. It is well. I lost my job. It is well. I'm in debt. It is well. Big mama sick. It is well. With my soul. Y'all can start throwing rotten tomatoes at me right now, but it is well. Ain't God all right? Y'all better come on with me this morning. And Pastor, whoop. When I say it is well with my soul, see, this woman really encouraged me. Well, because as I say all the time, as I look at life with these two eyes, Ed, when I look at this life with these two eyes, I'm discouraged. Well, I'm discouraged at what I see. Amen. When I look at TV, I'm immediately discouraged when I turn my TV on in the morning. Well, because I'm trying to get to work and it's a traffic jam. Amen. I'm trying to pay off bills and they just seem to keep on coming. I'm trying to preach the word of God and folks steady lying on me. I'm trying to do the best I can do, but it seems like everything around me, I'm discouraged when I raise my eyes up and I look out amongst us. Amen. When I go on my job and everybody's nervous, you better get in your office. They cutting back. I'm discouraged about my situation, my circumstances. Had a talk with my son last night. I'm discouraged this morning. Well, hallelujah, somebody. I'm discouraged. But as soon, Tony, when I look at this holy word of God, I'm immediately encouraged. See, the reason why some of us are so depressed, why some of us are so let down is because we want to look at what's going on around us and we're not looking on the inside. And guess what? The word and the spirit that's within you, they go together. So when you never break, he said, well, two or three are together touching and agreeing, your spirit is going to agree with this word. Woo! Hallelujah, somebody. My brothers and sisters, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul because salvation is by grace. That's why I get excited when I look at the word of God. Because sometimes based on the things that I do, Brother Ricks, based on some of the things that I say, I could think that, you know what, I'm going to bust hell wide open because I know that was wrong. But I'm so glad. Y'all better roll with me. Some of y'all thought you had a perfect pastor. I'm sorry to bust your bubble. But it is well in my soul because salvation is by grace. Ephesians 2 verses 8 through 9 says, by grace ye are saved. Through what? Faith. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yeah. You see, it's good that this is a faith thing. Amen. And not a work thing. Now, the works are a byproduct of the salvation. You're right. See, if you're truly saved, it ought to be some things that you do. Yes, sir. There ought to be some things in that book that you line up with. Yeah. And if your life don't line up nowhere in that book, it ought to line up somewhere. I don't even mean to be screaming at y'all this morning, but something in your life ought to line up with the word of God. Amen. I know we strive to be A-plus Christians, but I know some of y'all are C-pluses and C-minuses, but you're doing something right. Y'all remember on The Price is Right, when we used to play that game where they guess the number of the car, they say, gentlemen, do I have at least one number right? And they blow the horn, bum, bum. Gentlemen, do I have at least two numbers right? Bum, bum. Gentlemen, do I have at least? And then they get excited. That's how we ought to be about it. We ought to go down to commandment and say, oh, I got that one right. And I got that one right. And I got that one right. Every once in a while I say, Lord, do I have at least one commandment right? You got one. well with my soul, my brothers and sisters, because of the presence of God's Spirit within my heart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See, I can't preach like this. This is not Rev. McGuire. This is not Shannon. I can't do this without God.
Yeah.
It's well with my soul because of the presence of God's Spirit within my heart. My brothers and sisters, Romans 8 and 14 through 16 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God." Did y'all see that? The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit. Look at that word, y'all, that we are the children of God.
Yeah, yeah.
Woo! We are the children of God. Pastor Franklin said something yesterday at a funeral that blew me away. And Pastor Franklin, I'm fixing to share it. He said when Jesus Christ was on the cross, and this is Franklinology, but I really liked it. He said when Jesus was on the cross, and he said, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" That meant that God had turned his back on Jesus, right? Okay, look at this. And these were the people that were saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." The Bible says that the weight of the world's sins was on Christ's shoulders, right? Jesus, God couldn't have anything to do with Jesus at that particular point because of the sin that was on him. Are y'all going to roll with me on this? Christ is on the cross. God is looking at his son, but when all of y'all stuff got on him and he had to turn his back on his only begotten son, when he turned around, he was looking at us because Christ had paid the price for us. He was able to look at us because at that particular point, we were forgiven. Woo! Oh, I can't take credit. That was Franklin, but it was some good stuff. Oh, when he turned his back on his son, he was able to look at me and he was able to look at you. I got to close this thing out. My brothers and sisters, John 3:24 says, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us.
Yeah, yeah.
See, we know that he abides in us because he's given us something. Amen. All the time, but all my life, my daddy never gave me nothing. Yeah, he did. He gave you his only begotten son, and all you got to do is believe in him, and you shall have everlasting life.
Amen.
Ray ain't my daddy. God is, and Jesus is my big brother. Sorry, Ray. All that money you spent, all them cars you fixed, disowned you today. I thank God for giving you to me, though. Amen. It is well with my soul, my brothers and sisters, because of the keeping power of God.
Yeah, yeah.
See, that's some of y'all. See, some of y'all need to put your eye on me right now. It is well with my soul, Deacon Smith, because of the keeping power of God. He just keep on keeping me in his ever-loving care. Look at this. Look what the word says. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. If you jump on down to John 10:27-30, it says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Did y'all see that? Somebody say eternal life. That they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's why I believe once saved, always saved. Did y'all see that?
Yes,
neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all.
Yeah.
So the reason why once I give my life to Christ, I'm secure in my salvation, because no man can pluck us out of the hand of God.
Right.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Well, somebody should have shouted right there because you thought you lost your salvation. But if you truly accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are signed, sealed, and delivered. You got the seal on you right now. You tatted up. See, that's for the young folks. See, they laughed on that one. It says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I, look at this, and I and my Father are one. Woo! Ain't that good news, Tony? Oh, I'm almost done. John 10:27-30. I'm talking about it is well with my soul because of the keeping power of God. Some of us have to know that because the world will tell us. Y'all know church folks will tell us, boy, you're going to bust hell wide open. How many of y'all been told that? Well, just because you do this, you do that. Ooh, your dress too short. Ainsley's dress show is short today, but she ain't going to hell. If she accepts Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, she need to stretch it out a little bit. And the thing about Orange Chapel is we have a very new, unique church. We got some saved folk, but we working on the sanctification. Everybody here ain't sanctified, Pastor. And sanctification, and I tell y'all all the time, what we do in Orange Chapel is I believe in progressive sanctification. That means that we'll get better as we go. And to be sanctified means to be set aside to be used by God. That's why sometimes you see the same folk doing stuff because they've been set aside to be used by God. All y'all can't go to prison ministry with the Braxtons because you'll be marrying some dude that's on death row. You ain't there yet. Everybody not geared to go to the prison because there's some slick talking jokers in the prison. I got a homeboy that got a guard pregnant in prison. How does that happen? I said, wow. Somebody said, that's my hero right there. I'm telling you, everybody's not, but what we want to do, we want to get better. We want to be better. Amen? Oh, let me get back on this book. Let me get back in this book. My brothers and sisters, the word tells us here that in the book of Romans, chapter 8, beginning at verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Oh, y'all need to hear this morning. Babes, you need to listen real good. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Bradley, you need to listen to me this morning. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness? That means if you ain't got no money or no clothes, what's going to separate you from the love of Christ? Or peril or sword? People talking about, I'm going to get you. I'm going to kill you. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. I'm talking word this morning. That's why y'all quiet this morning, because you don't read it enough. If you read it, you'd be jumping right now. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why we sing that song, I let nothing separate me from the love of God. Man, if you got a joker that don't want you coming to church, you got to get out of there. Because he ain't going to let nothing, so you shouldn't let nothing separate you from the love of God. Woo. It is well with my soul this morning, Tony. It is well with my soul because of the testimony of God's holy word. That's why I told you before, every time I take my eyes off of y'all and I look at the book, I get encouraged. Every time I take my eyes off my family, every time I take my eyes off Fox 4, every time I take my eyes off my job, every time I take my job, my eyes off of things that are going on in this world, I'm immediately encouraged. If you're having a bad day, just open up the book. It'll get better. Amen? Instead of basing our assurance of salvation on feelings, see, some of us just move by how we feel. Some of us came to church this morning because I just feel like going to church because I didn't go to the club last night. And I was listening to Shirley, Mama's old Shirley Caesar album. I just feel like the Lord today. But we should recognize that our feelings are determined by our understanding of certain facts in the book. Amen. Well, one must believe that and accept the statements of Scripture in order to have assurance of salvation. Yeah. That's why you had those same folk every Sunday. Y'all, there's a church that I frequently go to. I've been going to that church for years. And these folks, you'll go back and they fix your plates. They lead praise and worship. And when they open up the doors of the church, The same one, Sunday after Sunday, come up here with all that boo-hooing and crying, and I want to be saved. No assurance. No confidence in what Christ has already done. My brothers, we got to have confidence in what the Lord has already done. He's already paid the price. That ain't nobody but the devil got you up here. Every Sunday, you got to go. My goodness. It said that no man can pluck you out. Amen. But you up every Sunday, boo-hooing and crying, and preachers spending 45 minutes, first lady ready to go. You back there laying hands. You done fell out on the floor and all that. They done covered you up. Just leave them there. Leave them. Be all right. Yeah. Glory to God. You know, speaking in tongues. We doing all this stuff. Because you ain't sure. Ooh, that's a whole nother sermon. I better leave that alone, Brother Eli. Look at this. It is well with my soul because of the testimony of God's holy word. What does the word say about that? Good question. Glad you asked. John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Yeah. Do you believe this morning? Come on, Tony, let's close this thing out. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, you get that. There's security in that this morning. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Yeah. See, Jesus is the only way. I know y'all like watching Oprah, but Oprah said there has to be another way. Oprah, I'm sorry to tell you, with all your millions of dollars, if you don't get it right, Oprah, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to bust hell wide open with all that money. Oh, y'all don't want to say amen on that. As smart as she is, that's ignorant. Yeah, yeah. I didn't say ignorant. I said that's ignorant. Oprah, that's crazy. But if we don't accept Christ, you can go and do all of these great things. But if you don't accept Christ, my brothers and sisters, the wrath of God is on you. That means the punishment for hanging his Son. Ooh. Do you understand the punishment that you receive if you don't accept Jesus Christ? The wrath of God is the... Let's get in the flesh right quick. Because I got to get in the flesh in order... Okay, Steve, you're a nice young man, and you're easygoing, and you're a quiet brother. That young man dies on the account of all them. And all they got to do is accept him. And they don't accept him. And then guess what? You get to carry out the punishment on them. That's the wrath. I got to make it real to you. Can you imagine? Carlita, all they got to do is believe in one of your babies. But they won't believe in them. But you get to carry out the sentence on them. My God. That's a boat we don't want to be in. Amen? Are y'all with me? I just thought I needed to explain that this morning. Verily, verily, John 5:24 says, verily, 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 I say unto you, he that heareth my word, you got to hear some word, church. You got to be here, church. And believe on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but it is passed from death unto life. It is well with my soul this morning. No matter what I might go through, it's still well in my soul. If I get sick, it's still well in my soul. If I'm talked about, it's still well. Sister Roberta, in my soul. Ain't God all right? Are y'all gonna pray with me this morning? No matter what.